from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Friday night! Jizz?
He's back, by the way. Jazz Chisholm Jr. activated off the IO. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Friday. All right, so I'm going to take you back to yesterday on Sauce Gardner's account, his ex account. And he posts a picture that says, do I even have to say what I'm getting built at my new house? And it's clearly a golf simulator. As we know, he has caught the golf bug and loves playing. So he's got a golf simulator that's going into his home. So that's what the picture is. And he's got like a little smiling emoji after that. So this woman, Callie Mariakis, we'll go with that.
Okay.
Callie Mariakis, she responds to this picture and this simulator tweet or a post and says, is it a simulator to teach you how to not commit pass interference or defensive holding? So it's a stupid joke. She's a Bills fan, according to her profile.
Yeah, so she's trolling him, yeah.
Right, so he decides to write back.
Why? I mean, so how many people viewed this?
5.5 million.
All right, how many responses did he get to it as opposed to just views?
Can
you tell that?
1,500.
How many?
1,500.
You're saying that like you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
All right, 1,500. Okay. So he decided to respond to one of the 1,500, I'm assuming.
Oh, no, that's how many responded to his tweet. I'm sorry.
Okay, but then he's responding to one of those 1,500 now.
Yeah,
that's what you're getting
at. You could say that, yes.
Okay.
So there was something about Callie that I guess stuck out to him. So his response back to Callie.
Oh, boy, here we go. Going back to Callie.
Yep. Was, I'm sure your husband wouldn't like it if I told him you DM'd me your OnlyFans link, would he? That's why it got 5.5 million views.
Oh, so he helped Callie promote her OnlyFans site.
No, I mean, he essentially trashed her to the world, saying that you made fun of me, but you're DMing me OnlyFans links, you know, hooah. I think that's basically what.
But let me just say this.
Yeah.
Does she? I'm assuming that she does have an OnlyFans link.
Well, yeah, I think that.
I think it's smart for her to do what she did, because with him reacting to her, now she's getting more views, which is what she wants. Am I right?
But no, I don't think so, because she DM'd him that link. She didn't put it out there. It's not in her profile anywhere. And so I think that putting that out there sort of, for, as the kids say, put her on blast. So I don't think she did want that.
You're nothing but a hooah.
Yeah, but why would you have an OnlyFans link and then want to keep it private? You'd want it. Wouldn't you want it out there?
I know what you're saying, but I think that some people would like to have that maybe and be anonymous.
So
with it.
So maybe that
like you don't know who I am, but I'm showing you these things, and now that you've put it out there, that I don't know. Like
remember you were talking about the mutants at the Fanatics Fest?
Yes.
And when Olivia Dunn or Paige Spearneck were coming walking through.
Yeah, the zombies. The Walking Dead, yeah.
I mean, so Sauce Gardner just gave her free advertisement. And how many new subscribers do you think she got?
Yeah, I don't know. That could be an offset of all of this. But I think what he was trying to do was embarrass her. And I think he was successful.
I think he probably did that. But I'm sure she also was rewarded.
I don't know, though, because here's the other thing about it. Like, she doesn't have any in her profile, there's no link to her OnlyFans anywhere.
Did you link to her OnlyFans when you saw Sauce go after her?
No, I just saw the tweet. So I don't know. I wouldn't know how to get to her OnlyFans if she doesn't have a link in there. I wouldn't even know.
But I thought, that did he put out the link?
No,
in the response?
No, he didn't.
All right. So then, yeah, he was just, if he would have retweeted the DM or something.
Yeah, he did not
reposted,
do that.
Reposted the DM.
Yeah, he did not do that. He just said, I'm sure your husband wouldn't like it if I told him you DM'd me your OnlyFans link, would he? So he's also implying that she's doing this in the shadows and her husband doesn't know that she's showing herself naked on OnlyFans. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like hey, I'm going to promote you. It was like, I'm going to embarrass you in front of all these 5.5 million people that are going to see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I also don't think that most people think that those who are on OnlyFans and making money in that way are respected. That's the other thing. You know? That's sort of like you're a internet prostitute that I don't respect. Fair?
Yeah, I guess so, if you put it that way, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so that's
now, I was thinking that if he reposted that link and that many people saw it, but then again, it would be easy to go find it if you followed through on looking her up.
I suppose, yeah. But, someone responded, out of curiosity, what is it? The only fans
yeah,
left.
Yes, yes.
And then, no...
No response.
Yeah, nobody actually has it.
So how did the simulator look, and are you jealous?
It looks like it's going to be great. It's not finished. It looks like it's going to be great. And yeah, I mean, I'll be super jealous. The problem is the height of my ceilings in my basement, it's not going to work, unfortunately. I'd have to, dig into the ground in order to make it happen, so.
No. Well, if you're really dedicated to the game, you would.
No, I think if he's dedicated to the game, what he needs to add is a garage. And in the back of the garage, have enough space where he could build a simulator.
Excellent. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Just too many permits and things and
yeah, but you're,
too much
you're,
money.
You are Mr. Sable.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. Plus, it's going to cut down on the part of the yard that we let Elvis roam.
And by the way, that is the town of Islip, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, you know people in the political arena.
I do. Yeah. Doesn't mean I don't want the garage in that spot.
Okay. Oh, well, all right. I don't know.
I just don't.
Where do you want the garage?
Nowhere. I don't want it. I don't want to build it. I don't want to spend the money on it. I don't want to have to deal with the permits. I don't want to deal with any of it. I don't want to deal with the construction and the noise. I don't want to deal with it. So I'll just go. There's a simulator place on the Sunrise Highway Service Road that I go in the wintertime. And I walk in there.
You can get a garage built in 6 weeks.
Okay, you do it then for me. Because I don't want to deal with it.
You can build a garage in 6 weeks. Go ahead, do it.
I can't build it. I didn't say I could build it. I just said you could have it done in 6 weeks.
But I'm not asking for it. That's the thing. I don't want it.
But I'm just saying you were talking about having to dig deep into your basement, which would be idiotic because you're probably very close to the water level where you are because you're on the South Shore and you're down by the ocean.
So yeah, I'm not going to do that either. Just I'm not in a great spot for a simulator. It's okay. You know, can't have everything you want.
Excuse me, okay? I'm sorry.
You know what I've decided to do instead from my basement? OnlyFans. That's what I'm going to do down there. That's right.
All right.
That's right. And then maybe I'll have enough money to build that garage. The big one. You know?
Yeah, but you don't have the room.
I don't.
And plus, I mean, you have the room for a garage. You do. You know, I'm trying to think of your house set up again, and I think at the end of the driveway you could do a garage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
keep all your outdoor tools in that.
Yeah, all my
outdoor tools. Do you have like a shed?
No, I don't have a shed either.
How do you not have a shed?
I should have a shed. Don't have a shed.
You should have a shed.
But I don't do anything. I don't have outdoor tools. I told you. The only thing
you said you were out there with your blower the other day.
Bull crap, I was.
I thought you were. I thought you were.
I was not. No way.
Were you sweeping then? What were you doing?
I
thought you
said you were sweeping. I don't do anything. Okay. The only thing that's in my toolbox is a checkbook. That's it. There's nothing else in there.
Okay.
I don't do anything. I don't even pull weeds anymore.
Wow. Come a long way.
I never did anything to begin with.
All right, so you have no outdoor tools, no nothing. You have a hammer.
Yeah.
You got a toolbox.
I do have a toolbox, yes.
All right. I mean, you got to have at least that.
Yeah, and I also have friends who do these things.
I know that, but
I call them up, hey, look at this. Can you do this for me? Yeah, sure, no problem.
I know you have friends. I'm just saying.
I'm not good. Me and you both are not handy people.
I agree with that. Yes, I know.
And there's no way that, especially in the home I'm in now, that I'm going to try to do some sort of DIY project. Because I will essentially burn the house down. I got no skill in that regard. None.
You don't have a blower, though.
I do not have a blower.
Power washer.
No.
Nothing like that.
No. Just contacts in my phone. I could.
You wouldn't burn the house down with a power washer.
Yeah, and people say that power washing is
therapeutic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get you a power washer.
I don't want it.
Oh, come on.
I don't want it. I'd rather pay the local businesses the money than for you to buy me a power washer. I don't want it.
The other thing, too, if I get you a power washer, you know, Gina can go around power wash the neighborhood and bring in a few extra bucks.
Yeah. What is this?
Oh.
You sent Izzo out for breakfast?
I did. What happened?
Well, he didn't tell me.
He said he was coming to talk to you.
He never did.
I
got a text.
Okay.
He talked to Eddie and I.
What?
Where were you?
I don't know. Looks like we got to add someone else to the dick segment. Yeah, you know what? There are two young men that are in Sayville.
They're power wash.
No, but they're younger. They're 13 and they do windows and stuff. And
okay, gutters. That's good.
They come around with flyers and you can't turn them down because you feel bad.
But that's entrepreneurial spirit.
Awesome.
It's just what America
got, like,
has
an
built.
Instagram page.
America is built on the entrepreneurial spirit.
I agree.
It's that awesome. and insurance fraud.
See, like, so what you Big Lou. Is like you. No, he does everything by the books, Big Lou. We know that.
Yeah.
But what you want is you want me to not give the money to young entrepreneurs. You would like me to do these things myself, and I just don't want to do that. I want to keep the economy moving in a way and give these young men more motivation to continue their, you know, their business.
I know the people at DeWalt, they'll send you a power washer. And a leaf blower.
Right. And it'll stay in the box just like every other DeWalt thing you've given me. I mean, I could honestly open a store with the things that you've given me that have stayed in the box.
And where are they? In the basement?
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
Uh-huh.
Do you give them as Christmas gifts?
No, I've not re-gifted that. I've not. I should.
I mean, you should. Like, I'm sure your dad would love a leaf blower.
I think he's done blowing leaves himself.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I think he's done with that.
Again, therapeutic, a little exercise. There's nothing wrong with
blowing
that.
Leaves is not exercise.
Yeah, you're outside. You're walking around. You're outside. Get him out of the house, you know?
No. By the way, I have thought about re-gifting these DeWalt things.
Yeah.
But the reason I don't is because I feel like it's such an obvious re-gift. Because why would I go out and give you a buy you a power screwdriver? Like, there's no way any of my friends, if I was like, hey, here, you know, they'd be like, you didn't, but why did you get me this?
I could see Frenchie, give him the power screwdriver.
Yeah, he's actually a mechanic at the poop plant.
That's what I'm saying. So you give him a power screwdriver, that's right up his alley. He could use that.
He could. You know, he's a good guy. You know, his birthday was a couple days ago, too. You know what?
So just send a delayed birthday gift. Sorry about it. I was thinking about it. I got you a power screwdriver.
Yeah. And a flashlight.
Yeah. And a knife.
And a knife. A hammer.
A hammer.
And
a torque wrench.
Torque wrench. Yeah. I just figured I'd keep it in the basement. Like, I may use these one day.
Give it to Frenchie.
Oh, I did a... I'm not going to tell you who, but I did an amazing re-gifting job on the fly the other day. And so much so that, like, this person was like, wow, you really stepped up and went out and you thought of me.
So they didn't even think that it was a re-gift?
Not even. It was... It all came out of a bag you gave me.
You're the worst. You are the worst.
And it wasn't any DeWalt stuff. But it was. I was like, oh.
I gave you a bag yesterday. You didn't give that away.
No, God, no. I'm wearing it.
Oh, okay.
Look, I have both the things on. I have both of them on.
All right.
Right now. No. No, it was. No. But it was genius. It was the best re-gift I've ever done.
So I gave you something that you ended up re-gifting. Do you want to tell me what it
was? I can't.
Was?
I don't want to do it. I don't have the heart. The person might be listening.
Okay.
And I don't want
to
do
whoever
that.
You gave a gift to just recently, that was re-gifted and it was really for me.
Mm.
So that person now knows if you gave them a gift recently where it came from. So who cares now? Now that
because
that
the person seemed very, very happy with the thought that I put into this for them.
And by the way, there is thought that goes into it. Like, if I give you something and you go, wow, this is awesome, but I really don't want it, and I know somebody who would want it, that does count as thought.
Yeah, but I see these things I actually would have kept, but I had like different versions of them already. So I was like, I don't need this. Someone else would really enjoy this. But it was like one of those, like, I totally forgot to get this person a gift. Let me just rummage through.
And did he have to be the same size as you?
It wasn't size things. It wasn't. It was, I'll tell you, I feel bad. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, this guy was like, wow, you know me. And for you to go out and buy these things for me?
Yeah.
So I was like, so I can't.
You have to. Because he knows.
He doesn't know. I'm telling you, he does not know. He doesn't know.
Yes, he does. If you're saying he's listening right now, you're afraid to say what it is. Whoever you just gave a gift to recently now knows it's the gift that you gave him.
I don't think so. I also told another friend of mine about this, and he was like, you know, he's essentially a jerk, this guy that I told. I like him, but he's a jerk. Okay. He's like, I'm going to go tell him.
Oh, there you go.
And then the guy walked. He walked by, like, wearing one of the things. And then the jerk goes, I don't have the heart. Because he was like smiling and walking by.
Was it a hat?
Might have been.
Was it a BEF hat?
No. I don't know. It was not a BEF hat. BEF hats, that would give away. This is why it was a brilliant re-gift.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
So what was it?
I don't want to say. I'm telling you. I don't want to break the guy's heart. I'll tell you off the air.
No, you still did right by him.
But not as right.
A gift.
Not as right.
It's somebody you gave a hat to yesterday. So
no, it wasn't. It wasn't yesterday. And it was recently. More. It was more than that. It was several things. It was several things.
And I gave this to you.
It was one of your gift bags at a tournament. I picked out select items from it and re-gifted.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened.
Right. Well, that's fine.
See, I feel terrible, though. Now,
I'm trying to think what we gave away.
But you did pick through it and say this would be great for this person. So it was still very thoughtful.
Yeah, there was some thought, unless you didn't know that it meant...
No. I did look at that. I was like, they would really appreciate
these
things.
Was it the Due Process tournament or was it the Glen Oaks tournament?
So that's a yes? Those stuff with Due Process.
All right, screw it.
So anything with the FIFO on it?
No, it wasn't that. It's not on there. But So this guy actually said to me the other day, he goes, I saw Boomer wearing the same hat you gave me.
Oh, it's the clover hat. Was it the clover hat?
And I was like, he got me. And then, but he didn't. Even with that, he didn't put it together.
Yeah. The clover hat.
The American flag one.
Yeah. Clover hat, yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, Jerry. I didn't buy any of that stuff. These bastards got it out of me. Not Jerry Recco, by the way.
Yeah.
Different Jerry.
All right, well, just calm yourself. He's fine. Everybody's fine. You gave him a nice gift.
The reason why I really feel bad is there was a day where he loves to golf. He's a really good golfer. And I came in to, I'd gotten an invite from Craig Curry to go play Glen Oaks. And I walked in and Jerry was at the Portly. Jerry was sitting there. Great guy, Jerry. And I said, you know, I asked like 35 people to play with me at Glen Oaks. I couldn't find anybody. And he goes, I didn't get a text. So I wanted to do right by him by this thing. And then I forgot the gift for his birthday. And then I was like, ah. So then I rounded up this stuff. And it was an expert re-gift. And now he knows that I didn't buy that
either. Wear it proudly, though. You know, it's a great hat. That is a great hat.
It was also, there was a ghost golf towel that was in there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You gave away the ghost golf towel.
Well, I had a couple.
Oh, already. You did. Yeah. Got the flag on it. It's beautiful. That was a very nice gift. So this guy
there was
obviously
something else too. There was
this,
something
this guy
else.
Is patriotic.
Yeah. Yes.
You was, gave him everything that you felt was patriotic.
Yeah. But there was also something else I gave him too. Oh, yeah. That wasn't in the bag. Something else.
What was that from another bag?
It's from my fridge.
So you gave a golf towel, a golf hat, and something from your fridge.
It was a bottle of champagne someone had given me that I re-gifted. Okay. I'm just the worst, man. Yeah. That's so bad. I mean, but
you
he was
dick.
But you're telling me because he was happy with it, it doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. As long as the person you're giving something to is happy with what you gave them.
Yeah, I guess. I do enjoy that.
You know, like we got one of the jet helmets in here, mm-hmm. The black one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gave it to Brandon.
Yeah, and he had to do the bike tour. And
but No. I gave him the new one this year.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
I didn't ask him to do anything.
That's very nice.
And I just said, you know, we just don't really have any room for it.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. The last time you made him do something for it.
Yeah, and he came through.
You know, one of my favorite things is like Pete Bellotti, who works here, is also, he's going to be the new Amy Lawrence producer, by the way, overnight. The new EP of the Amy Lawrence show. So congratulations, Pete, on his big move there. But he'll take anything out of my office, like anything. And he's so happy when he gets it. And I feel, you know, I feel like that guy that they profile on CBS Sunday mornings around Christmas every day that'll walk into a Walmart and hand strangers $500.
Yes.
That's what I feel like. I'm like, hey, Pete, here's a T-shirt that I would be caught dead in this thing. But here you go. And he's like, yes, he loves it. So it makes me feel good, you know?
We all kind of like free stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just the level of free stuff that you have gotten a little snobby about.
That's not true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not true. I'm just trying to make people's days. That's all.
I mean, you are a person that appreciates nice stuff, and you want to make other people happy,
mm-hmm.
and you give some of your nice stuff away. I think that's a very nice thing that you do.
Well, I call it the boomer runoff. It's like it flows.
If you call it a thing now, it's called the boomer runoff,
yeah. So like it'll start with you, and then you'll send it to me, and sometimes it makes it past me. And when it makes it past me, then someone else benefits from it. Yeah, I'm like a collection area for your runoff. But sometimes water squirts away from me as well.
Okay.
And people like Pete Bellotti, and you know, they benefit from it.
As long as the morale is good, then I'm good.
Right, exactly. Which it is. I believe that it is. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
If I were to ask you right now, off the top of your head, is there an AL and an NL MVP or just one Major League Baseball MVP? What's your answer? Eddie?
Two of them.
One. One.
Okay. So Boomer and I spent the entire break going back and forth on this because we weren't sure. Mm. One MVP. But an AL and an NL outstanding player.
That's right.
Gets confusing.
Can you be the MVP and the most outstanding player, or do you think you got MVP, step aside, we'll give it to the next guy?
Yeah, let someone else get a bite at the apple type of thing.
Well, time out now. In 2023, Ohtani is primed to win his second career AL MVP award after putting together the finest year at the plate while continuing to dominate on the mound. On the NL side,
things aren't so clear. Is this an outstanding player, though?
No, this is MVP.
I'm so confused.
Though it'll be tough to stop Braves superstar Ronald Acuña.
It's an each league. It is.
Two.
It's right.
That's right. And by the way, this is like I was discussing this with Gio. I'm like, enough with the AL, NL. They all play each other. There's less teams than in National Football League. National Football Leagues don't play each other. There's only one MVP. There's an outstanding offensive player and an outstanding defensive player, or offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year. And then there's the MVP.
Yeah, there is. There are two. Oh,
yeah, so why? That's what I'm saying. Why are there two? There shouldn't be two anymore.
You got two leagues.
They play the same game now.
When they expand, you might have game.
I'm trying to answer for you. There's two leagues. There's two MVPs.
The NFL has the AFC and the NFC. There's two leagues there, too.
No, those are conferences, one league.
Don't be
what?
A jackass.
And a National Football Conference, American Football Conference, National Football League. Major League Baseball has the American League and the National League.
And there's no difference.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing with you, but that is a difference. Fact.
They should stop with this AL, NL, MVP thing.
There might be less interleague once they expand and they don't have
expand to. What?
Two
no
more
teams.
And they're going to. So they don't have. They're not forced to have an interleague game every day to balance the schedule.
All right. To sum this up, I actually agree with Boomer.
Thank you.
I do too. Because there's interleague play. There's the same rules. It's stupid to have two MVPs now.
I agree.
And two Cy Young Award winners. It's idiotic.
Yeah.
Have one. Make it more prestigious.
Yeah. I mean, doling these things out like Tic Tacs.
Yeah. In some situations, they want to adhere to tradition. In other situations, they don't.
There's 450 guys in each league. It's still pretty prestigious.
Make it more prestigious.
Well, it would do that. That is true.
You can always be more prestigious.
I mean, you got Silver Slug Awards, you got Gold Glove Awards, you got all sorts of awards, which is fine, which is great. But you don't have two leagues. It's all one league.
Yeah.
You have your rivalries within your divisions, of course. But I'm just saying, it's like, why have two MVPs? Doesn't make any sense.
So you're saying eliminate the leagues and then just like the best however many teams.
You can still have the leagues. You can still keep that moniker in the divisions and things of that nature. But
the league doesn't matter anymore because there's so much interleague play. It means nothing. It really doesn't.
Well, and also once you got the DH in the National League, that changed everything.
That too.
Well, that's the point. Like, why are you having two MVPs, Jerry?
And the umpires unified. Used to not be. Used to have AL umpires, NL umpires.
See, the whole thing's unified. They need the, and this way they could save some money too. You know, if you really think about it. Because one of the players who is going to win an MVP in one of the leagues isn't nearly as good as the other player in the other league, and therefore you wouldn't have to pay two guys bonuses.
I mean, you got Ohtani and Judge probably going to win. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but one or the other should win it. Not they shouldn't both win it.
I agree, but while it's set up now, they're both going to win it this year.
But I'm just telling you, they've got to stop it.
It's got to stop. Get Rob Manfred on the phone.
Yeah. Silly crap.
We got the Manfred man in extra innings. We get the bigger bases. You can't block the base. You can't run into each other anymore. Both leagues have the DH. I mean,
you don't have to throw intentional walks. You just go to first base.
I mean, this is ridiculous. You can't have two MVPs. You got to have one.
You know how we decided our championship game on Sunday? International rules: bases loaded, nobody out. That's a tough way to go start an inning.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the internationally they do that?
They said that's what perfect game call. I guess those are international rules. I don't know.
And how'd that work out for you?
I told you we won.
Oh.
We gave up one run and then scored two.
So the
But a very good team too. Showcase baseball.
But the point being is that you want to be the team that takes the field first in that situation.
Well, we were the home team, so it worked out well for us, only giving up the one, and then is that right? Timeout. I'm thinking wrong. I don't remember now. I don't know. We won though.
And one, it's all that matters. What age do you think? What's the perfect age for an umpire?
You saw this last night, right?
Well, I heard you guys talking about it.
For umpire for what?
Baseball. What do you think?
Baseball. Major League Baseball, minor league
baseball.
Major League Baseball. Little League Baseball.
Major League, the perfect age for a Major League Baseball umpire.
Not the average age, the perfect age.
What's the perfect age?
I would say the perfect age is 34 years old.
Interesting.
Really?
Jerry thinks it should be much older.
No, I would think like mid-40s.
Okay.
Still young.
Jerry thought a 29-year-old umpire.
Home plate umpire.
Way too young, he thought. I was thinking 29.
He's got better eyesight than a 54-year-old.
Yeah, but there was a guy. What was the guy's name last week?
So what's the answer, his age. By the way?
There is no answer.
Okay. No.
It's an opinion, but I was...
I was surprised.
I was disagreeing in my car with Jerry, thinking that I thought 29 was fine and not too young. Now, if I heard 22...
But how many umpires you think are under 30? I mean, he might be the only one.
Probably not a lot, but it's not... There's a difference between 29 and 22.
Is this guy that you're talking about, this 29-year-old, is he...
The average age is 49, by the way.
Okay.
Some old-ass umpires.
Huh? Yeah, it's like Al and his pilots. They should be little...
Gray.
Long in the tooth. That's what he wants to see.
A pilot should have white hair, but still seem strong, like a guy in his late 50s.
White hair and still seem strong.
Perfect pilot age. Mm-hmm.
What was the pilot's name that landed the plane here in the Hudson?
Sully.
Sullenberger. Yeah. You want a Sully Sullenberger.
Correct.
Yeah.
Guy who's seen some things.
Yeah.
Not just a flight simulator like these kids these days, Boomer.
Right. If you would have walked on a TWA flight in the 70s, you would have seen my uncle. He was the senior pilot for TWA. You would have felt really, really comfortable with him.
White hair? Moustache?
No hair.
Moustache.
We actually had an attractive female pilot on the way to Italy. Blew me away. I'd never seen that.
A female pilot?
Attractive female pilot.
Why? What are you saying? Pilots are ugly?
I'd never seen... How many, wow, that's an attractive female pilot walks out of the cockpit, have you seen? I'm sorry, it's rare. Not saying anything, I had never seen it. Usually you get Captain Sullenberger or
We may end up in the Hudson.
Some guy who looks like Mike McCarthy. Like, that's what you get.
Some guy like Mike McCarthy?
Who looks like Mike McCarthy. Yeah, someone like that.
Say, hey, see you later. Anyway.
It's the guy from Airplane.
Yeah, that's right. That's why
I'm bringing that up. McCarthy.
Yeah.
By the way, how old was this female pilot attractive?
I would say...
Did you see her knees?
I did not. It's full uniform.
Okay.
I'd say 38 to 45. Yeah.
Ex-Air Force, probably?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying that... You think Sully Sullenberger pops out of that cockpit. She did on a flight to Italy. And I was like, what? That's different to me.
What airline?
You know.
Delta.
It's funny you say that, too. I don't know if you don't go through the Holland Tunnel. I know Al has seen this and Eddie. There is a beautiful police officer that monitors the Holland Tunnel, and which is great. But I'm thinking, a New York City police officer. How about that?
Well, there are a lot of good-looking New York City police
officers. She's gorgeous. I mean.
Okay. Keep your eyes on the road, Jerry.
My eyes are on the road. She stopped me. What did I tell you?
Well, why'd she stop you?
What? Because they had to check a truck, an 18-wheeler. They were moving it to the side. They stopped all the traffic.
Oh, yes.
And I was the first one that got stopped as they brought the truck over. I mean, which got to be a pain in
what
the
is
ass.
The 18-wheeler thinking about? It says no trucks. It says no effing truck.
I know. Happens all the time, though. Happens all the time.
So back to this pilot for a second. I remember as we're leaving the plane, I made the mistake of saying to Gina, I was an attractive female pilot. She's like, oh, she wasn't that good looking. That's what she said. And I was like, well, hold on. I'm not going to leave you for her. I'm just making a comment. I was like, how many times do you see that? Right? You don't see it a lot.
Everybody stop trying to be political. You don't see the attractive
female pilot a lot.
I don't see a female pilot very often. And we did have one coming back from Scottsdale, but I don't see it often.
And I have never seen, I was just asking, I've never seen the...
Al, you have, correct?
At the Holland Tunnel.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever see busty cops? There were several of those busty cops on Skinamax. There's like 1, 2, and 3.
I mean, Eddie, come on. Such a jackass.
Did anybody ever see that? Did I ever get that question answered?
Busty cops?
Yeah.
I think I have seen busty cops.
I might have.
Showtime.
Yeah, Showtime. I think it was Cinemax.
2004.
Yeah. Busty
cops.
That
sound right?
Yeah.
Let's see here. There's actually a busty cops collection.
Yeah, told you. There were several busty cops. Yeah. I never had like the videos. They would just be on, you know.
Who was your favorite? Nicki Nova? Or Angelina Ash?
It was the blonde.
They're all blonde. You like Lexi Marie?
I don't remember these by their names.
Tanya James. Kehlani Lee. You know her. I'll bet you know her. She was, I think, in regular movies too.
And what would you call this movie? An irregular movie?
Busty cops?
I mean, it's not straight, it's softcore. You know?
Okay. I think she was in a regular core movie. There's Busty Cops, Busty Cops 2, Busty Cops Protect and Serve, Busty Cops Jewel of Denial.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah. Oh, there was a python on one woman. Yeah, I remember that. And they went down to some Amazon jungle or something.
And Busty Cops Go Hawaiian was the latest release in 2010.
Wow, Busty Cops series went all
the
way to
2010. Yeah, the first one was 2004.
Yeah.
And then they released one in 6, 9, and then 2 and 10. Jewel of Denial and Go Hawaiian came out within days apart.
This is obviously a sequence of movies that have been very popular. Normally you say how the sequel sometimes doesn't add up to the original.
Yeah, but I mean, when Busty Cops was over, we're like, we need more of this. And they delivered. Yeah. But generally, you know, it's like the plot that need to be anything special. You just had to throw them back out there in some sort of situation.
No. This is on an exotic island. Crooks trying to steal a precious stone that gives its owner the power to manipulate people from a holy statue. But the busty secret agents are sent there to handle things.
See? I mean, you're 20-year-old me. You're all in on this. You are all in.
I get it.
It was just on a regular TV, too. You know, it was just there.
And then here's one, Go Hawaiian was remarkably well-endowed law enforcers investigate a downed satellite lost in the jungles of Hawaiian that would give its finder untold erotic powers. Starring,
true story?
Yes. Tanya James, Amy Reed, Angelina Ash, and Tory Lane.
Wow. Based on a true story.
That's and great. Nikki Jane. Don't want to forget Nikki Jane.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's got to be a double K, Nikki, right?
It is. Yeah. That's exactly right. And then Franziska Vasella. She's another one that was in it.
Okay.
So there you go. Who's your favorite there? I'm going to go with Amy Reed.
I'd have to see them.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, I remember that one.
You could be a Tory Lane guy.
Not by name. Any of them pilots?
Tanya James in her second career. She's flying for Delta.
Here's a guy I know through golf who's also a young pilot. Very upset with Al right now. He's just totally disrespecting young pilots right now. Doesn't like it.
There are a lot of them now. Like a new wave.
Yeah, it doesn't. He's upset.
Is this,
You've pissed off the young pilot community.
This guy... military?
I'm not sure. I know that he flies.
What do you think? He just like started flying planes out at Islip or Farmingdale?
I don't think he's military. I know he's a scratch golfer. Really good golfer.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know.
That's a good thing. Scratch golfer and pilot. That's a good combination.
It's a great combination.
Because if you're a scratch golfer, that means you're paying attention to detail. You have the focus to be able to play 18 holes without really having a blow up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the same thing that goes for the plane.
Exactly.
You know, you got to pay attention to details, and you don't want to have a blow up.
It's a great combo.
Yes.
No blow up holes, no blow up.
Nice, steady, and consistent.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Do we even do any sports?
No, you did not. But if Jerry had done an update.
I would tell you that we were brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Winters Bros for help with your next cleanup or construction project. Visit wintersbros.com. Mets did win last night, 8-3 over the Padres, and the Yankees with the shutout win as well.
All right, thanks, Jerry. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio on a feel-good summer Friday. Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz right now. A pair of field-level tickets to see the Yankees and the Rockies at Yankee Stadium on Sunday, August 25th. Right now, be caller 7 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub-sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and the Fan.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So this is something that this guy told me that I totally forgot. So we're talking about young pilots, and I have a friend who's a young pilot that I played golf with. He flew you guys to the Super Bowl before I joined this show. He was one of the pilots. It was the Super Bowl in Arizona. Let's see here. He goes, it was 2014 or 15, he said, and he was the pilot of the plane that took you guys out to Arizona. Young guy, even younger then.
A young pilot?
Yeah.
I got on the plane?
Yeah. Yep, wow. Yep. He might have been the co-pilot, I don't know, but he was there.
Yeah, I have to say that I did fly up to New Hampshire this summer with two pilots, and one looked like he was like 17.
Yeah, see, I would not.
But I got to tell you, the kid was in great shape, but he wasn't 17. I just asked him when I was getting off the plane, are you going home to babysit after this?
It was pretty funny, right?
I mean, I understand what you want. You want a guy with a little gray hair on the side, you know, he's been around for a while, grizzled, you know, he's probably dealt with a lot of different emergencies. And obviously, if he's still here, that means all of his planes are still here.
But, like, this is one of those things. Like, I understand, like, you know, stereotyping certain people in jobs is not a great thing to do. And there's probably people that get upset, you know, I look like this and I am good at this job or whatever. I'm young, I'm good at this job, I'm old, I'm good at this job. But most of us, in something where our life is in our hands or their hands, you look at the person, you make a judgment on them. Like if you had some guy with Coke bottle thick glasses as your pilot, you'd be like, this is a problem. I'm sorry.
I don't know. But
it doesn't mean that I'm anti-glass wearing people. It's just that when your life is in their hands, you judge how they look.
Normally,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, normally we look at people and we will make a... We'll have a snap judgment. Yes, that I think
in
that goes
jobs through. Like right. That in particular. I
mean, but for me,
doctors,
the most important thing is hiring the most qualified.
Shh.
Indeed. That's all I want is the most qualified people that love to do what they do and want to be as safe as possible.
Of course. But to sit here and pretend that people don't do that when it's a job like a doctor or a surgeon or a pilot, you get on a plane, everybody does it. No matter who you are, what your background is.
Like if you walk in and your doctor's got like his, like a guy, you're, is a, you know, a male doctor, and you walk in there and he's got like his hair in his ponytail, right? And you walk in and he goes a beard and all that. And he goes, yeah, we can give you a few drugs to take care of that. Are you comfortable with that?
I don't know. Are we talking about Eddie as my doctor? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, if your doctor looked like Eddie, yes.
What type of doctor? We're talking like a general?
Oh, your heart doctor.
Heart doctor, yeah.
Yeah, not your psychiatrist.
No, yeah, psychiatrist would make sense.
Yes.
Heart doctor, not so much.
Not I don't so think, much, yeah, right. Yeah.
Or a guy with like a lazy eye. As you know, that
you're
an
ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
Let's say your doctor looked like Al. You'd feel pretty good about it, right?
I would. Yeah, I've got an asthma doctor, asthma and allergy doctor, who is in unbelievable shape. And he's one of those guys that has like the button-down shirts that he's like popping out of with his muscles, you know?
It's like Tiki.
Yeah.
He's got the Italian fit suit.
Oh, it's skin tight, and it's like you can make out his pecs. And you bounce a quarter right off. And I'm like, this guy, he's in charge of my lungs. I trust this guy. And he rides bikes all the time. He's a cyclist. And he's just like, so I know exactly what you're saying. It's what you want to see out of a doctor.
Many years ago, my doctor sent me to a nutritionist that was fat.
Yeah, see?
And then what happened?
I'm like, well, what am I taking advice from this woman for?
Yes, exactly. Have you seen? Never mind.
Really turned me off.
No, I know. But was that person like much fatter, like obese, and then just got down to normal fat? Would that have been acceptable?
Like they were on their journey?
Yeah.
Well, no, because they were already a nutritionist. So you've studied this in school. You know what's good and not good.
You'd have to quit. Like I couldn't. If I were a fat nutritionist, I couldn't take myself seriously. I wouldn't like take on clients. You can't do that.
How about if you were a fat health commissioner?
Are there those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're littered all over the place. You fat bastard telling me what to eat and what not to eat.
Oh, my God. All right. But I just wanted to, like, you know, I feel like people get upset when you generalize these things. So I had to very specifically drill down. There's certain jobs that you are lying to me if you don't make a snap judgment on their looks when it's a serious thing that involves your life. You can't tell me that you don't. If someone out there says that they don't, you are lying.
I want Frenchie at the poop plant. When I see him and you told me what he does for a living,
yeah,
I mean, that guy cares.
Sure.
He's going to make sure that that plant is up and running and it's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Like that water that they are sending out into the ocean is drinkable after that going through the system.
I trust that guy.
Yeah.
Now, on a Friday night when he's hammered and he's sleeping on a boat.
Yeah.
I understand why, because he's got a lot of stress in his life.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of pressure falls on him to make sure that the poop plan is working properly.
He did get hammered. Oh, my God, that night.
Yeah, he did. So did you, by the way.
No, not like that.
Well, he was just complete. Well, you know what? He works long hours.
He does.
And he was up at the crack of dawn with us. People aren't used to that. You know what I mean? Like getting up at 3 a.m. to do this and then go out after that.
And start drinking at 10 o'clock.
And you're in the sun. He just completely was wiped.
Yeah, he can. Last year at Fire Island, so this was another Fire Island experience with Frenchie. It was a late night pizza after drinking. You know, grab a slice of pizza, and there was a young lady who was talking very loudly in the pizza place. We were waiting for the pizza, and he goes, looks over at her, with one eye open.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So this is something that this guy told me that I totally forgot. So we're talking about young pilots, and I have a friend who's a young pilot that played golf with. He flew you guys to the Super Bowl before I joined this show. He was one of the pilots. It was the Super Bowl in Arizona. Let's see here. He goes, it was 2014 or 15, he said, and he was the pilot of the plane that took you guys out to Arizona. Young guy, even younger then.
A young pilot?
Yeah.
I got on the plane?
Yeah. Yep, wow. Yep. He might have been the co-pilot, I don't know, but he was there.
Yeah, I have to say that I did fly up to New Hampshire this summer with a young, with like two pilots, and one looked like he was like 17.
Yeah, see, Al would not.
But I got to tell you, the kid was in great shape, but he wasn't 17. I just asked him when I was getting off the plane, are you going home to babysit after this?
He probably didn't like that, right?
Funny, yeah. I mean, I understand what you want. You want a guy with a little gray hair on the side, you know, he's been around for a while, grizzled, you know, he's probably dealt with a lot of different emergencies. And obviously, if he's still here, that means all of his planes are still here.
But, like, this is one of those things. Like, I understand, like, you know, stereotyping certain people and jobs is not a great thing to do. And there's probably people that get upset, you know, I look like this and I am good at this job or whatever. I'm young, I'm good at this job, I'm old, I'm good at this job. But most of us, in something where our life is in our hands or their hands, you look at the person, you make a judgment on them. Like if you had some guy with Coke bottle thick glasses as your pilot, you'd be like, this is a problem. I'm sorry.
I don't know. But
it doesn't mean that I'm anti-glass wearing people. It's just that when your life is in your their hands, you judge how they look.
Normally,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, normally we look at people and we will make it. We'll have a snap judgment. Yes, that I think
in
that goes
jobs well. Like right. That in particular. I
mean, but for me,
doctors,
the most important thing is hiring the most qualified.
Indeed.
That's all I want is the most qualified people that love to do what they do and want to be as safe as possible.
Of course, but to sit here and pretend that people don't do that when it's a job like a doctor or a surgeon or you get on a plane, everybody does it. No matter who you are, what your background is.
Like if you walk in and your doctor's got like a male doctor, and you walk in there and he's got like his hair in his ponytail, right? And you walk in and he goes beard and all that, and he goes, we can give you a few drugs to take care of that. Are you comfortable with that?
I don't know. Are we talking about Eddie as my doctor? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, if your doctor looked like Eddie, yes.
What type of doctor? We're talking like a general?
Oh, your heart doctor.
Heart doctor, yeah.
Yeah, not your psychiatrist.
No, yeah, psychiatrist would make sense.
Yes.
Heart doctor, not so much.
Not I don't so think, much, yeah, right. Yeah.
Or a guy with like a lazy eye, as
ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
Let's say your doctor looked like Al. You'd feel pretty good about it, right?
I would. Yeah, I've got an asthma doctor, asthma and allergy doctor, who is in unbelievable shape. And he's one of those guys that has like the button down shirts that he's like popping out of with his muscles, you know?
It's like Tiki.
Yeah.
He's got the Italian fit suit.
Oh, it's skin tight and it's like you can make out his pecs and you can bounce a quarter right off.
And I'm like, this guy, he's in charge of my lungs. I trust this guy. And he rides bikes all the time. He's a cyclist. And he's just like, so I know exactly what you're saying. It's what you want to see out of a doctor.
Many years ago, my doctor sent me to a nutritionist that was fat.
Yeah, see?
And then what happened?
I'm like, well, what am I taking advice from this woman for?
Yes, exactly. Have you seen? Never mind.
Really turned me off.
No, I know. But was that person like much fatter, like obese, and then just got down to normal fat? Would that have been acceptable?
Like they were on their journey?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, no, because they were already a nutritionist. So you've studied this in school. You know what's good and not good.
You'd have to quit. Like I couldn't. If I were a fat nutritionist, I couldn't take myself seriously. I wouldn't like take on clients. You can't do that.
How about if you were a fat health commissioner?
Are there those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're littered all over the place. You fat bastard telling me what to eat and what not to eat.
Oh, my God. All right. But I just wanted to, like, you know, I feel like people get upset when you generalize these things. So I had to very specifically drill down. There's certain jobs that you are lying to me if you don't make a snap judgment on their looks when it's a serious thing that involves your life. You can't tell me that you don't. If someone out there says that they don't, you are lying.
I want Frenchie at the poop plant. When I see him and you told me what he does for a living,
yeah,
I mean, that guy cares.
Sure.
He's going to make sure that that plant is up and running and it's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Like that water that they are sending out into the ocean is drinkable after that going through the system.
I trust that guy.
Yeah.
Now, on a Friday night when he's hammered and he's sleeping on a boat.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand why, because he's got a lot of stress in his life.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of pressure falls on him to make sure that the poop plan is working properly.
He did get hammered. Oh, my God. That night.
Yeah, he did. So did you, by the way.
No, not like that.
Well, he was just complete. Well, you know what? He works long hours.
He does.
And he was up at the crack of dawn with us. People aren't used to that. You know what I mean? Like getting up at 3 a.m. to do this and then after go out after that.
And start drinking at 10 o'clock.
And you're in the sun. He just completely like was wiped.
Yeah, he can. Last year at Fire Island, so this was another Fire Island experience with Frenchie. It was a late night, pizza after drinking. You know, grab a slice of pizza, and there was a young lady who was talking very loudly in the pizza place. We were waiting for the pizza, and he goes, looks over at her. One eye open.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.